Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Our guests today are D.L. Salazar, he goes by DJ, Nathan Samora, and then a little bit later on, Armando Vijo. We want to be sure to thank our friend Don Richmond for the music and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear. So, DJ and Nathan, you're here representing the National Veterans Advocacy Association, or NVAA NAVA. When did this start, and what kinds of outdoor activities do you guys do?
Well, this started in 2022. I had finished a work experience there at the Veterans Home at Home Lake, because I myself am not a veteran. As soon as we did that, I enjoyed out there taking them fishing on my time and after work or in the mornings, you know. And when that contract ended, I took some time. I started with District Folk Rehab as a job coach, helping people with disabilities and that are on SSI, helping them network with different resources here in the valley. That led to me meeting with members of SLV Go and doing their socials. And now what we're trying to do with the outdoors aspect of this is get veterans outside as well with our own socials. And so planning on starting this year with 2023 ice fishing socials.
Oh, great. And Nathan?
So I got started. I moved back to the Valley. I'm originally from Monte Vista and been living out for years. Finally moved back, and this guy is like, hey, Nate, he calls me up. He's like, I've got some big plans going on. Like, you know, I want to start this nonprofit. You're a veteran. I spent 10 years Army. He's like, I want to go in and get you involved. I think you have your head on your shoulders, and you can help us get in the right direction we need. And so it didn't take much. You know, he kind of shared his vision, and I definitely give DJ, you know, all the credit and really commend him for this vision that he's had, because this is really, you know, this came from, you know, his heart, and it means a lot. So, of course, I jumped on board, and, you know, the rest is history, but it's definitely something that I'm super excited, and, you know, every vet I talk to, they're, you know, they seem to light up. So it's pretty exciting work that we're doing, and we're going to continue to do.
Cool. So, DJ, when you were working at the Home Lake Veterans Center, you said that you took some of the residents fishing. Was that at Home Lake itself?
Yeah. We'd utilize the Home Lake out there. They were stocking it. It was always a great experience. It was sad because right after I finished my contract, COVID hit, and then they haven't been on. I think this year they just started again. We were getting ready to have a volunteer day on June 18th, but then
that's when Home Lake got shut down.
So we had some big plans. All of us took a day off to go and spend that day with them, a little fishing, get them back out there, and it turned out we had to postpone, but yeah, that's where we were fish, go out to the dock, hang out, talk life lessons. A lot of them getting on that vehicle wasn't an option, so being able to cross the road and enjoy some outdoor activities was great.
So Nathan, since DJ mentioned that one of the activities that you have planned for 2023 is ice fishing, I need to ask whether you are an ice fisherman as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I hate to say it publicly and declare myself as an ice fisherman, because I know there are some hardcore guys out there, but definitely I'm all about it. Anything outdoors, but usually getting that line in the water is a great thing for me, and I know for a lot of other vets too, so it just works really well.
Yeah, and the one thing that I really liked about what the outdoors brings out of the veteran community is camaraderie. I know me and Nate have been archery hunting now. A couple other members from our board, we archery hunt, we fish, and we plan on extending that out to more of a social environment for veterans to come and join us.
Is this open? Is this organization open to any veteran, regardless of age and physical status?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Veterans, our mission also does speak to the veterans' families, because, you know, a lot of people don't look at it this way, But when a veteran is overseas or they're on mission, it's not just them that's serving, but it's the family at home as well. The wives have to take care of everything that happens with the house, the kids, and, you know, the veteran's out doing his job. But it's a team effort, a family effort. Mm-hmm. So we definitely not just open to veterans themselves, but family members. We just want to make a big difference because that's a key component in a veteran's just mental health and the chance of success is having a stable foundation with the family as well.
DJ, you mentioned that you and Nate have been archery hunting. Is that something that you can extend to the veterans as well?
Maybe not hunting because there's, you know, some regulations and some red tape and gray area in there, but I know we have had a meeting where we sat down with some game wardens from the region and talked about doing some shooting there at Shriver Right and getting a group out together and maybe possibly something in Alamosa. Those are still in early talks, but that is something that we have envisioned with the group.
Is archery maybe preferable to many of the veterans rather than shooting rifles and pistols and things of that sort? Or does it completely depend upon the experience that the veteran had?
You know, everyone's different, but I would say I feel comfortable in saying for the majority of veterans, we like to shoot stuff. We like to shoot things. So archery is just that next big progression from shooting guns, and I wouldn't even say progression because it's not necessarily better per se, but the learning curve is huge, and that's what stopped me from getting into archery for years. But it's just something that we really do feel vets would really connect with, especially considering a lot of us have a love for firearms as well and just shooting stuff. So it's just one opportunity we have to kind of get them together and build back on that camaraderie that's such a big deal when we're in the service and so many veterans miss once they get out.
Right. Yeah, I like the group aspect. I know we hunted in a group, and I think just, you know, the will and determination that we see in each other to get out in the backcountry and hike those miles and search for those elusive animals that we tend to chase, you know. But it really brings us time together and gives time to talk and get things off your chest, you know. And I think you come out of those experiences getting connected with nature, getting connected with your friends, and coming out with a little bit of weight off your shoulders.
That's great. You know, one of the good things about fishing is that you pretty much know that the animals are going to be limited to a certain spot. The river or the lake or something. It's not like when you're out looking for elk or deer or something. They could be anywhere on the mountain. Mm-hmm. Before we started the recording, we were talking a little bit about another organization that you guys are very familiar with that's also focused on helping veterans, and that's Project Healing Waters. And you have some association with that as well.
Yeah, we've spoken with Mr. Price from Project Healing Waters, one of our board members. Through talking and joining up with our group recently, he landed up now, is going out there and enjoying what Project Healing Waters is able to do. They really focus on the mental health, tying the flies. I've been there when they had a fly tying and rod building class. And it's just amazing how it keeps them moving, you know, keeps the parts moving, keeps the brain moving, and it's really great. And then they take them fishing, and I see all the pictures they post on their social media pages, and I'm like, yes, that's so awesome, you know. So they do really great work, and a goal of ours is to, when people ask, you know, like we said before, we can't do everything, but we know people that in all these realms that we can send them to, such as Project Healing Waters. And so, yeah, really great, great organization.
Sounds like you guys are a great clearinghouse for finding resources for the veterans here in the Valley, the veterans and their families. You're to be commended for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a really great experience. I know to add to some of the outdoor things that we are planning on doing is I manage a short-term rental. And once a quarter, we plan on having a veteran out there and their families for a weekend and taking them as a friend, you know, out fishing, showing them what we do, where we hike. The property that I manage has over 100 acres. So
oh, nice.
Some hikes and some trails, mountain biking, things of that nature. So We'll be doing that quarterly. We have another short-term rental in Crestone that's also willing to do the same to help us out. The owner of that is a Navy veteran himself, sits on our board.
Oh, that's very good.
So he's donating some of his stuff to have veterans down here as well to enjoy the experience of the San Luis Valley. You know, we have a lot to offer, and these are like our healing grounds, you know?
Right, right. Being outdoors is always a healing experience. Unless it's like 95 to 100 degrees, then it's at least not so healing for me.
Right. Death Valley is probably not the place to be out right now.
Yeah, I think that's a safe thing to say. So when you were talking about the events that you have coming up in 2023, ice fishing you mentioned, do you have a target date for that activity?
We're in the works of setting something up with another organization here. So we're waiting on our MOU to go through, and then we're going to start shooting dates. I'm thinking last year we had ice kind of right after Thanksgiving. I was able to go hit a couple of the spots around here where we plan on utilizing some of the lakes to the east, a little bit easier access. And those don't typically freeze till about mid-December. So we'll probably start mid-December, break for the holidays, and then come back into the new year with a date to be announced and a lake to be announced holding a fundraising ice fishing tournament.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
And how can veterans find out about all of these things and find out about NAVA? Who do they call? Where do they look on the internet and so on?
Right now, we're just, like, again, we're trying to start this from scratch. We are currently fundraising to get our website up and running. Right now, you could get a hold of me through Facebook, through National Veterans Advocacy Association on Facebook, and I have a card on there as well with my cell phone number and our email address. And then to get in contact, and feel free to give me a call, and I'll ask some questions based on kind of, you know, your needs and what you're looking for, and then I'll point you in the right direction as we continue this. The plan is to get all the resources that we've established, have them on a website. They can look through it right away, have the businesses or organizations number and address, contact information on there, so that way they can get in contact with them.
And what is your telephone number, DJ?
My cell phone number is 719-480-0270. And the email address is DaleSalazarJr@nationalveteransadvocacy.org.
Okay, very good. Nathan, you joined with Dale from the beginning on this, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how have you found it so far?
You know, it's a lot. I've never been involved in a nonprofit. Business-wise, there's so many moving parts, and it's been a big eye-opener, you know, from filing for our nonprofit status to being able to take solicitations and then collaborating, getting involved in grants. So I'm the type to where I do like to learn and grow, and it's been a remarkable opportunity. So it's been a wonderful experience so far. And I would say the kicker of it all is seeing the, you know, that light shine in veterans when we discuss it. You know, so many times I've heard veterans say, thank you, that's exactly what we need. You know, we're appreciative, we're looking forward to it. They're so excited. And so it's definitely provides some intrinsic value that I'm, you know, in it for, you know, to be able to help veterans out. And, you know, it feels good.
Great. Well, anything else you'd like to add before we move on?
I would just say, as a veteran myself, when I served, that level of camaraderie, I can't stress enough. When we get out, a lot of us veterans have many different struggles that we're facing from all different walks of life. And one of the number one complaints that I hear from veterans is, you know, gosh, I miss that camaraderie. I don't know if I miss serving anymore wearing the uniform. And a lot of them do. I miss it as well. But it's that camaraderie, that glue that, you know, you are not alone. And so that's one of our biggest things, that one of our projects that we're working on is just getting that group together. So one thing that I would say is, if you are a veteran and you're listening to this, don't hesitate to reach out, because we have some big things in plan, and we want to get all of us together, and we want to build that camaraderie and let you know that you have a place to go to, even if it's just a talk, you know, but we're here for you. So,
excellent. Well, once again, I've been talking with DJ Salazar and Nathan Samora from the National Veterans Advocacy Association, NAVA. You can get in touch with them by searching on Facebook for National Veterans Advocacy Association. And once more, DJ, could you provide your telephone number and email address?
Yes, my cell is 719-480-0270, and my email address is Dale Salazar Jr. at nationalveteransadvocacy.org.
All right, very good. Well, thanks you guys for coming in, and thanks for both your service in the past as well as your service to our veterans right now. We'll be right back, and when we return, we'll be talking to Armando Vigil of the Rio Grande Farm Park.
Climb aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. The Cumbres and Toltec operates on a 64 miles of track between Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico, taking passengers over the San Juan Mountains to the Conejos Valley. Regular daily passenger service begins June 3rd through October 21st and will run 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. Book now on America's highest, longest, and most authentic steam-operated railroad. Visit our website at CumbresToltec.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alamosa Citizen. I'm talking with Armando Vigil, who works at the Rio Grande Farm Park. Welcome, Armando.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to. And what is your title out at the farm park?
So I'm the education coordinator. I'm in charge of running Rising Stewards and just different workshops and things to do with youth.
So tell us about the Rising Stewards program.
So the Rising Stewards is a work-based educational program, and the students will be learning how to farm first and foremost, so how to kind of market garden, have a product to sell at the Mercadillo, and then they're learning different personal skills. For example, today we went and passed out Mercadillo flyers to all the businesses downtown, and so we did that. They're going to explore career opportunities in outdoor ag, outdoor recreation. So that's like fishing guiding, rock climbing guiding, mountain biking guiding, careers with BLM, Forest Service, and just different career opportunities that are out there for them.
Great. So how many Rising Stewards do you have out there this summer?
We have six.
Six. And are they all different from one another?
Yeah, quite a bit. We've got a pretty diverse group of kids. And so we have some that are a little more outgoing. We got the shy types, and so we're just, got a pretty good variety of kids. So,
what age range are these Rising Stewards?
They're all high schoolers, high school age. So either going into their freshman year or in their senior year.
So you indicated that one of the opportunities for the Rising Stewards is to develop their ability to farm and actually produce something that can be sold at the Mercadillo. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What are these particular Rising Stewards going to be selling tomorrow?
So tomorrow they're going to be selling some hanging basket flowers, and we got those flowers from the Alamosa Community Greenhouse, so shout out to them. And they'll be selling that. They'll have some lettuce, some radishes, some canola, which is a unique crop. The tops taste like broccoli, and the bottom leaves taste like cabbage. It's pretty delicious. And that was brought over from the Mayan families. So I didn't even know it was edible. And my intern, Isabella, she says, "Oh, we eat this. This is called ita." And I said, took a bite, and I said, "Wow, this is amazing. This is delicious." And so we'll be selling some of that, radishes, lettuce, and the hanging baskets, and some cilantro.
Oh, man, that Sounds pretty interesting. You know, I'm only familiar with canola as an oil product. I mean, you raise the grain and then crush it and get the oil. Right. Didn't realize you could eat the greens also.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it either, and then started looking into it a little more, and it's definitely pretty tasty stuff. So I like it better than broccoli, actually. So.
Oh, how could anything be better than raw broccoli?
It's tough, pretty tough, huh?
I like raw broccoli. So where are the, do the students work, or I'm sorry, do the Rising Stewards work all across the farm park, or do they focus in a certain plot area?
Mainly in their plot area. They have 10 rows, and so we've been focusing on that, and then if they need help somewhere else, we'll help out with that. So they help out set up the Mercadillo, which is our farmer's market on Wednesdays from 4 to 7, and we can talk about that more in a little bit. But they help set up with that. If they need help with potato harvesting, weeding potatoes, they kind of will move around if they need extra hours and stuff like that. So,
great. And how many hours a day or hours a week do the Rising Stewards work?
About 20.
About 20?
Yeah. And we're pretty flexible. If they want to earn more hours, we try and come up with stuff. Or if they fall behind and need more hours, we try and get them caught up. Or
is there a stipend for these Rising Stewards?
There is a stipend, and it's broken into terms. So we got three terms. The first two terms are for 75 hours, and that's $750 for each of those terms. And then the last term is 100 hours, and that's $1,000. And then also they get the benefit of whatever they sell at the Mercadillo or whatever they sell on their own. They get that profit as well. So it's kind of up to them how much they want to make. If they want to put in the extra work, they can make a lot more and be pretty successful with it.
And how do students find out about the Rising Stewards program?
Usually just social media. We didn't really advertise too hard this year. We got a pretty good turnout right away, and so we, as soon as we advertised, we pretty much got like 4 or 5 signups right away. So,
and is 6 about the maximum number that you can host?
We were gonna do 8. And then we kind of downscaled to 6, and then we've had a few that have dropped off and a few that have come on. And so, you know, farming is not for everybody. It's pretty hard work, and being out in the sun, it gets a little hot, and pulling weeds isn't always fun. So, but it's great for them to explore and see, you know, is this right for me? Is this not right for me? And we've gone on some pretty good field trips as well. We've went out to my farm. We went to Goose Meadows Ranch. That's down in Magoti. Out by Antonito, and that's 160-acre cattle ranch, and they're doing rotational grazing, and so we've got a really great educational experience out of that, and then we've just got a lot more field trips coming up. So,
how do you find the time to run your own farm and supervise all these educational activities at the farm park?
Just thriving in the chaos. That's about it. That's the best way I could explain it, is you just jump into the chaos and do what you can, and you fail at some things and you excel at other things. And so it's just kind of what I've been trying to teach the kids, is don't be afraid to fail. It's part of life. If you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. So,
in addition to the Rising Stewards program, you said that you're also involved or responsible for the Mercadillo on Wednesdays?
Right. Yeah, that's not mainly my responsibility, but we do participate in that. And so that's I think Delia, our marketing person, is mainly in charge of that, and then Seth Armentrout, the program director, and Liz Breckbill, who just recently left us. She was our Mennonite volunteer, and so she put in a lot of good service to the farm park, so shout out to her as well. And so we just, you know, have the kids help set up and get ready for that. And the Mercadillo is a great place for people to go buy some fresh produce and support your local farmers and artisans. And it's a great market, 4 to 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, and that'll run till the end of September.
And I understand there's a special event at tomorrow's Mercadillo. Like a bike rodeo?
Oh, the Bike Coalition is doing a bike rodeo. Yeah. I don't have the details for that, but I've heard a little bit about it in passing, and so they're a good partner of ours. And the bike collision is pretty awesome for kids to learn how to go and fix their bikes. And they got the Earn a Bike program. You can go and volunteer some hours and help out over there and earn a bike. So it's a great program. And we're hoping to have them come out this year and do some bike riding with us as well.
Great. Are you also involved with the walks that are taking place out at the farm park?
Yeah. So we're doing community walks every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and that's partnered with the Senior Center. So that's the Rising Stewards and the Alamosa Senior Center. And it's a great program because we're combining the youth with the older population, and so it's a nice merge of ideas and different personalities and people getting to know each other. And that is open to the public, so we invite the public to come out every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. You can either meet us at the Senior Center or the Farm Park and join us for a walk there.
And about how long a walk are we talking about?
It varies on, we usually do about 4 loops around Cole Park, and then we're going to start exploring the Farm Park and the trail system that's out there. It's a really great trail system, so we go for Rising Stewards, we go for a daily walk every day, and that's about an hour walk or so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and so it's been good exercise and getting our steps in and, you know, getting some endorphins going before our daily work starts. So, and we've been going a little longer every day. Some days we go really far, and then other days not as far, so it depends on the temperature. And if it's a little hot, we're like, it's cut a little short today. But for the most part, we're doing about an hour walk every day.
Oh, that's good.
And that would be open to the community to join us as well.
All right.
But the main walk is Tuesdays at 9, and then that'll be changing when school starts. And that's our partnership with SLV Go. So that's SLV Great Outdoors Coalition, and that's a great organization that we partner with. We like them a lot, and they do good at getting people outdoors.
Sounds like there's a lot going on at the farm park. And I know that this coming Saturday is a volunteer work day out at the farm park also.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on with that? All I saw was lots of opportunities.
Yeah, so there's going to be some park bench painting, some weeding potatoes. I think they've got the greenhouse all painted, so they'll probably be done with that. But they'll probably be doing some setup in the greenhouse. And I think they've remudded the Orno and all that, so they'll just be painting the benches and doing a variety of different things.
So no tools necessary. All the tools are available at the farm park. Just bring yourself and a wide-brimmed hat because it'll be outside.
And work gloves.
And work gloves. Great. Yep.
And a strong back.
Well, some of us have can bring some of that equipment,
yep.
but maybe not the strong back.
But, yeah, it's great, and breakfast is served and coffee, and it's great chance to meet the community. And
so what time does that work day start? Because I saw a time that seemed a little bit later than usual.
They should be starting about 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Typically when it starts, yeah.
Okay. Well, pay attention, because I'm sure there will be more information available either in the paper or in social media for the farm park, maybe in emails and things of that sort as well. So, Armando, anything else you'd like to mention about the farm park?
Yeah, so the farm park is open from dawn to dusk, and it's a public place. We do lock the back gate, which you can access through the river, and it's not locked, it's open, but we have a gate there that's we keep shut to keep the deer out. But it's a great place for the community to come, get outside, volunteer, meet the community, do some gardening. We got an excellent playground, so bring your kids out. It's got a nice zip line. And, and then we're working on making the river corridor, helping with access there. So the farm park does actually have some of the trails back there, and there's a laguna. And it's a great place to do some fishing, some paddle boarding, just a variety of activities to do out there. Pick some dandelion greens or whatever you like to do, or walk around, look at the art. It's great for inspiration. But it's right in the heart of the city, and it's, you know, a great place for people to come and check out.
It's a calming place.
Very, yeah, great for picnics as well. Mm-hmm. That picnic table's actually been my office space for the past few months. I I discovered I got Wi-Fi at the picnic table, so I'm like, oh, I'm not going back into the office.
And oh, then, yeah.
And then I found out the office has AC, so I'm like, oh, I don't know which one.
But the picnic tables are under some pretty good-sized trees, so they're usually pretty shaded.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great place to hang out. And we have a lot of picnics there with my family as well. We'll get some food and hang out there. And great place. And then we got the education center, and we'll be doing some future workshops out of there. And then another thing is we're trying to set up a fun run for the summer. So I have a little fun run for some youth. And so we're just trying to, right now we're just trying to figure out what prizes would be best for that and go forward from there.
Good. Another fun outdoor activity.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, it's all about being outside. That's what this podcast is about. The Rio Grande Farm Park is a great place to be outside during all seasons, not just during the summer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a beautiful place, and it's, you know, nice to go to. And there's chickens out there now. There's just a lot to look at and experience. So, and then it connects to all the trail systems there on the city. So it's just, you can go around Blanca Vista and start at the farm park and make your loops around, go to Cole Park. So it's just, it's a great place all around to get outside and ride your bike, go for a walk, take the family for a picnic.
Great. Well, thanks, Armando. I've been speaking with Armando. Oh, if the listeners want to get more information, how do they get in touch with you or the farm park?
So the best place is probably to go to the website or our Facebook, and we reply pretty promptly to our Facebook page, or just get on the website, and there's Seth's phone number is on the website as well, or you can just hit the contact us page. And to contact me directly, it's just armando.slvlocalfoods@gmail.com, and that's the best way to get hold of me.
Okay, very good. Well, Armando V. Hill is the education coordinator for the Rio Grande Farm Park. Thanks a lot for coming in today, Armando, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having us.
All righty. We'll be right back after this brief message. This is the Outdoor Citizen.
Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue is an all-volunteer nonprofit team that operates in Alamosa County, primarily on the Blanca Massif in the Sangre de Cristo Range. Some of these peaks require more technical expertise than others, and there is little room for error. Make sure you know your abilities. Before you go out to explore the wonders of the Alpine, be sure you tell someone of your planned route and have an agreed-upon time to check in with someone back home so they can call 911 if something has gone wrong. Have the 10 essentials in your pack and always check the forecast. Knowledge weighs nothing, and this is the most important thing you can take with you. ABSAR is honored to serve our community and those who visit. Learn more by visiting our website at www.avsar.us.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at the rest of July, which is coming to a close in another week. On July 29th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Rio Grande Farm Park is having a volunteer work day. Coffee and breakfast will be provided. There are various projects to tackle. Bring comfortable clothing, a good pair of gloves, and I would recommend a hat, a wide-brimmed hat also. Also on July 29th, the town of Sawatch is hosting its annual Hollyhock and Arts Walk Festival. The hollyhock is the town flower, and it grows just about everywhere there. At the end of July, it should be at its peak. Artists from all over will be in Sawatch from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and I know there's music and food available as well. Then on August 3rd through 6th, Del Norte's Covered Wagon Days kicks off. On top of the parade and the festivities, the Bee's Knees 5K Walk and Trail Run is sure to draw runners from all over. Registration is open until August 4th at 6 p.m. Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado has a few upcoming engagements we'd like to tell you about. July 29th and 30th, a Moon Pass habitat restoration will begin. August 12th, the Los Pinos Trail restoration begins in the Rio Grande National Forest. August 26th, Beaver Dam Analog Construction Projects will begin in the Rio Grande National Forest. On September 30th, a two-day habitat restoration project is slated to begin on the Blanca Wetlands. To learn more or to register for a project, visit volunteer.voc.org or contact Katie, that's K-A-T-I-E, at voc.org. The month of July has brought record heat into Alamosa and the San Luis Valley. I can sure attest to that. We saw an all-time high of 95 degrees on July 17th, and we've set record high temperatures on four separate days in July, including 93 on Monday, July 24th, and it looks like today is going to be another record high day. The average daily high temperature for July 2023 is 89 degrees, making it the hottest month on record. The forecast does show a lowering of the temperatures as August approaches. Come on, August. You know, on every episode of The Outdoor Citizen, we have an outdoor correspondent report from around the San Luis Valley. Here's our latest field report from the Manassa Pioneer Days 5K run and the Stations of the Cross 10K run.
Hey, Marty. It's a weekend for community runs in the San Luis Valley. I'm in the field at the Manassa Pioneer Days 5K run and then headed to the Stations of the Cross 10K run in San Luis. The mornings are the best part of the days since the heat isn't as intense as it will be later in the day. Lots of runners out here, Marty. See you around. Stay cool.
As the days get longer and warmer, we'd love to hear from you. Record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. Now we've got some conditions and measurements for you to keep you up to date on what it's looking like out there. Here are the latest stream flows entering the week. For the upper Rio Grande, the gauge in Del Norte is reading 486 CFS. Monte Vista, 264 CFS. Alamosa is reading a discharge of 187 CFS. And further south, the Canillos River at Magoti is reading 334 CFS, which is a pretty good flow on the Canillos for this time of year. If you've been listening in, you've noticed in the past month we've gone from thousands of CFS per day on the gauges to hundreds. It's not uncommon to see our river flows reducing at such a rapid pace. Now we have a few select fishing reports from the San Juan River and the Arkansas River. On the Arkansas, from Salida to Canyon City, that is the lower basin, this report comes courtesy of Braden Baker from Arc Anglers. Temperatures are ranging from 50 to 60 degrees. The water is slightly stained but very fishable. Fishing is excellent on the Arkansas right now. Flows are still swift but are at a normal level for this time of year, which is pushing fish out to the softer water along the edges where they are opportunistic and competitive in their feeding habits. Trout have seen very little angling pressure in recent weeks because of the high flows and should be willing to investigate any possible food drifting through sheltered pockets. On the San Juan River near Archuleta, New Mexico, the water temperature is about 46 degrees, and we're now at our standard 500 CFS-ish summer flows. Wade fishing will be good throughout the river. Watch for midge hatches or the occasional blue-wing olive hatch in the afternoons to possibly bring fish to the surface. Here on The Outdoor Citizen, we aim to keep you up to date on all the outdoor news that comes our way. Here's what's going on outside. State health officials confirmed the first human case of West Nile virus in a person from La Plata County earlier this year. Additionally, West Nile virus has been found in mosquitoes in seven counties, including Pueblo, Boulder, Denver, and Weld counties. The Rio Grande National Forest's next entry in the Forest Specialist series is all about botany. Titled Botany, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, this session is hosted by Rio Grande National Forest Rangeland Management Specialist Rachel Hosna. She'll be discussing all the weird and wonderful plant life in our national forest. You can listen in on Wednesday, July 26th at 5 p.m. Find the link to the meeting at the Rio Grande National Forest Facebook page or at www.fs.usda.gov/Rio Grande. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. And again, thanks to Don Richmond for the music and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs. Until next time, thanks for listening to The Outdoor Citizen. Get outside, stay safe and well, stay hydrated, but enjoy the outdoors.